We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Helps to turn them up, though. Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. My name's Tina Dobbs. I'm sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. We're going to try to keep her awake. And our guest this morning is Nicholas Medina. How are you doing this morning?
Fantastic. I'm doing great.
It's good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And it's good to see everybody else.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do a record in two parts, and I'll get those uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, a mile and a half past Tractor Supply, Pastor Chasten Music. We are better together. I think I covered it. Oh, remember, like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I got it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid it all, that you paved the way in front of us to be bold when we come to you. And I pray that everyone's hearts will open and receive the good news, and a new perspective on God himself would be given today, a new revelation of grace. I pray for this whole studio and everyone hearing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. I like your title, The Real God.
The Real God. I love that. The Real God. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into this.
Go for it. We're ready.
I'm excited. Actually, I'm super excited right now because there's such a misconception on God, you know? It's always finger pointing, gavel slamming, I see all your sins kind of God. And especially in people who know God, but they don't know the grace of God. You know what I mean? People who are lost. I was just speaking to somebody yesterday, when my wife was. And I heard him say, I know what God can do. I just have to be willing to give up. I have to be willing to let go. And even that in itself is a block from Satan. That is a work mentality. And I'm going to talk about that today. Jesus Christ paid all the price, did all the work, paved everything in front of us for him to stand boldly in front of God. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. When we get our minds stuck into performance, like say you wake up in the morning, right? God, I got to do this for God to bless me. I got to pray enough for God to bless me. I got to read enough for God to bless me. I got to go give. This is a pattern that's going to lead to anxiety. It's going to lead to depression, and it can almost make you crazy because you're trying to be good enough to be accepted by God or to please God. I'm letting you know now, you don't have to strive to be perfect for God because you are perfect to God. Why is that? Because he himself came and died to make you perfect. He has blocked the whole area that was blocked, he removed that block for us to come. The veil was torn in Christ. So when we get stuck into this mentality of, I got to do, this sounds a lot like the law. The law was, thou shall not. All the pressure comes on us. Grace is, I will. It's a constant supply and flow from God. All the pressure's on him. I want to go back to Genesis 12. And Genesis 11 is the first mention of Abraham. At the end of Genesis 11, it talks about Terah, which was the father of Abraham. And then it jumps right into 12, into Abraham. And what's the first title of that? Promises to Abraham. I'm going to read what it says. Now the Lord had said to Abraham. This is God speaking to Abraham, a man, just like us. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. If we notice, there's five I wills there. Notice there's no pressure on Abraham. There's not a single thing Abraham has to do. It says, get out of your country. He just leave. I'm saying leave the mentality of pressure and realize God is supplying. And there's five I wills. And if we know numbers in the Bible, they're all significant. Five is the number of grace. Five is the number of here's everything from me. You need nothing. I need nothing in return. There's five I wills here. I'm going to peek y'all's brain to say, let's get out of God, what can I do for you? And let's put our mindset in God, what can I receive from you? Mm. Let's be willing to receive. See, with humans, when we take, it hurts the other one eventually if we take too much, you know, because we only have so much to give. But with God, it glorifies God when we receive. Goodness gracious. When you wake up in the morning, instead of I need to do this, wake up and speak. 1,000 may fall at my left. 10,000 may fall at my right, but it will not come near me. I rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I have the blessings of Abraham. I have the promises of God. You know, sin cannot be held against me. Once we have this receiving mindset of grace, it takes away all of our performance. Mm-hmm. Performance is such a hard thing for me. You know, I've been struggling this past month. And I will admit it, because I am only reliant on Jesus. I've been struggling this last month thinking, God, what can I do? It was I don't think I'm doing enough. Mm. And that plagued me. I mean, for days I'm thinking, what is wrong? And I'm taking it out on people, not knowing, you know. And they're like, what can I do right? And it makes them feel like they're not doing enough, you know. And it was a revelation that came from my wife. The Holy Spirit spoke to my wife. She's like, why do I feel like I'm not doing enough? And that broke my heart. Because in that moment, I realized I'm portraying on her what the devil has lied to me about what I feel God is feeling of me. Oh, my goodness gracious. It broke that veil off of me. And I realized I'm putting myself in a law mentality. What can I do for you, God? Let me do. And God doesn't want us just to do. He wants us to receive. Look at these promises of Abraham. I will. And if we go through Abraham's life, we see all the things Abraham goes through just for these beginning chapters. And it was a bunch of I wills. So Abraham leaves. And they go on to a place in Canaan, which was promised to him by the God Almighty, and he says, I'll show you a place that I'll give you. They come into a place called Shechem, which Jacob comes to later on down the line and puts an altar there and claims it as his own. So as a prophecy in the future. But in the midst of Shechem, it says right here, and the Canaanites were then in the land. So in the midst of his enemies, he comes to a city of Shechem. And what does he do? He builds an altar there to the Lord. And the Lord tells him, I will give this land to your descendants. So this tells us again, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our enemies, we need to be willing to receive. A lot of the times when we're in our pain, when we're in a struggle, we look outward and we try to be on offense. And the full armor of God tells us, what is our offense? The word of God, mm-hmm. right? And what do we do with the word of God? We read it, we receive it, we believe it. I believe I'm on a firm foundation. I'm not fighting anymore. I'm receiving. So in the midst of his enemies, in the heart of his enemies' place, Shechem, he pitches an altar to the Lord after the Lord says, I'll give to him. We go on to Abraham in Egypt. He gets to Egypt after God has promised him all these things, after he said he'll do all these things. He gets into Egypt, and what comes over him? Fear. Man, fear will get you every time. Mm-hmm. Fear is coupled. It's like a couple with unbelief, you know? Because when fear comes, it's physical things or things we can't see. It works both ways. That try to obscure the promises of God. So God told Abraham, you'll have descendants. Your descendants will have this land. We know before in chapter 11, it says Sarah was barren. So he believed God for the descendants. God even showed Abraham where he was going to have. This place is going to go to your descendants. And he has no kids yet. Gets into Egypt and he says, look, Sarah, you're very beautiful. And they're going to think, they're going to kill me and take you as their wife. So just tell them you're my sister. So he goes in with a wrongdoing. Now, this is going to sound radical, but I want you to know the amount of grace God has. He goes in saying that. So he's wrong. He's deceitful. He goes in. The Pharaoh takes him. And look what happens. It says, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? So look, right here we're already seeing Pharaoh's confronting Abraham with his wrong. But I want you to see what Jesus says about Abraham. Or what the Lord says about Abraham. Well, actually, look, this is what happens. After he shows that he deceived Pharaoh, he ends up leaving. Pharaoh's like, look, take your wife, take all these things. He ends up leaving Egypt for the first trip. The second trip, I'll get to in a second. Blessed. It says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Why I'm saying this is because this is the main purpose I'm coming today. Your sin, your wrong, and your faults never stop the pursuit of God's relationship. Not at all. We cannot let our wrongdoings, our faults, and our slip-ups come in between God pursuing our relationship. It never has and it never will. And now definitely because Christ has died on the cross. How many times in life do we get to a place where we mess up? How many times do y'all mess up? Yeah. None of y'all. Obviously, y'all are completely blessed and flavored, right? I mess up continuously. And I remember before I had came to grace, I was continuously a mess up in my own eyes. That always brought a separation between God, right? Sin mm-hmm. separates us from God, right? And I was so scared to approach God or to come to him because I thought I needed to get better. Mm-hmm. I needed to perform better. If I just get right, if I just let go, I have to do something to muster up the strength to get over to God. That is stopping me from blessings of God. Abraham here wasn't stopped from leaving Egypt rich because of his downfall. And I'm going to skip over here just to, because I feel like I should bring this up now since we're in Egypt. Another time, Abraham goes to Egypt. Right here, where does it say that he was a prophet of God? I'm so sorry. You'll have a second to I can look. 12 parents, sign of the covenant. It's a depravity. Well, I got this right here anyway. Brought this back up, so. Let me show y'all. Okay, right here. So Abraham comes again to Egypt, lies about, or he goes to Abimelech, and he lies about Sarah being his wife again because of fear. And he comes in, and God comes to Abimelech and tells him, hey, that wife, that girl you took, is Abraham's wife. And Abimelech's like, whoa, I didn't know at all. He told me he was his sister. Like, why would you strike a righteous nation because of this? Right? So it was another Abraham's fault. But I want you to see, Abimelech calls him out as a liar. He deceived me. He lied to me. That's man's opinion, right? His performance's opinion. How well is Abraham doing? Well, he's a deceiver. Look what God calls him. Right here he says, you need to go to Abraham because he's a prophet of God. And he'll pray for you and it'll heal you in your house. Look how God addresses Abraham. Not as his sin, not as his downfall, but he addresses him as a prophet of God. So from the beginning of time, the beginning of God's grace, we can see he is full of love. That he sees us as prophets. He sees us as children. He sees us as good. He doesn't address us as our sin. Right? And I'm going to take you to Psalms 103. I'm doing a lot of jumping around here, but it's a little Bible study. So write these things down if you can't remember them all. We're going to go to Psalms 103. It says right here, Psalms 103:10. And this should put some excitement in you. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. In this alone, I want us all to realize God's view of us isn't our sin. It's not our iniquities. It's not our transgressions. So much so that it says he has removed our transgressions from us, far as the east is from the west. So much so that it says he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Means he doesn't come to us and associate with us with feeling. And he hasn't punished us according to our iniquities. So God's view on us is not our sin. It's not our downfalls. It's not our wrongdoings. And it's not our performance. It is a free gift completely paid by Jesus Christ himself. God is a judge, right? We all see that. Everybody can say, well, only God can judge me, right? That's true. But I'm going to let you know, God wants a relationship more than he wants judgment. So if we're out there alone without Christ and we feel like I can come to God, but I have to correct things before I get there, I'm letting you know now you don't need to. Come as you are. Come just like you are right now. You have a pornography addiction? Come. You have a drug addiction? Come. You're on meth. I'm going to get radical. You're on meth. Come. Come to Jesus Christ. Accept that he has died completely for your sins. He has washed you clean, and God doesn't see you even in your sin as a sinner. Ephesians tell us why you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He loved you so much that he gave up his son. In your bondage, in your addictions, come to God. My grandpa says this all the time. He says, you don't have to take a bath before you come to God. He'll wash you off when you come. So I'm letting y'all know now, in your addictions, in your bondages, in your sicknesses, and in all the things that plague you, your sin and your wrongdoings, don't try to correct these before you come to God. He loves you. He is love itself. He literally says right now, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. And have you noticed this whole thing was in past tense? He has not dealt. He has not punished. He has removed. From the beginning of time, he had a plan for him to come down, die on that cross, to remove our badness. so that he can see us clearly. It shows he wants a relationship more than he wants judgment. Stop thinking you are wrong. Stop thinking you are too much for God. Stop thinking you're not enough for God. Stop thinking you have to acquire something to be accepted or pleasing to God. He has already removed that by Jesus. If you come into God, into his grace, and you say, Lord, I'm in a bondage. I'm in addiction. I'm in a pornography addiction. I'm in a meth addiction. I'm a very hateful person. If you come to him just like that, watch God move. Because I'm letting you know, if you're going to try to handle your problems before you come to God, you're going to be there a very long time. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to be able to get over these things permanently. Mm-hmm. You might be able to go to AA or Celebrate Recovery if it's derived on Jesus. What I'm trying to get here is only Jesus can permanently remove those. Mm-hmm. He has removed our transgressions. He has removed these things from you. He sees you perfectly because he sees Christ once you accept him and you accept that he came for your good intention. I know it's very hard to put our mindsets on God is completely for us because that's nothing like humans, you know, especially with me and my father. I'd like to say a lot of the times people look at God the same way they looked at their father. I looked at mine. My father was not around a lot in life, you know. And every time I seen him, I was angry or I wanted to show him how good I was. And that reflected onto my relationship with the Father. And I kept trying to perform. And a lot of times I'll get caught in a mindset of still performing. God, did you like that? Was that pleasing to you? God, did I do enough? And it's like, son, you're already perfect to me. And in that, and knowing that, and receiving that, good things start to flow. You want to pray for the sick. You want to see people healed. You want to see orphans get parents. You want to see cancers removed from people's bodies. You want to see bondages on your own life broken. We all have those things that are trying to hold on to us. We all want to see those gone. But in accepting the unlimited, uncircumstantial, unmerited, unearned favor and blessing and grace of God Almighty, that is what is going to start to move. God, you do it all. I can't do anymore. So once we work, God rests. Once we rest, God starts to work. Let's rest in the favor of God. Stop thinking it's blasphemy and it's wrong doctrine to believe that God is for you, that God is completely for you. Because think about this, from the beginning of time before Jesus, God never seen sin and never imputed it on people. David messed up repeatedly. God never seen David that way, right? What did he call David? We all know that. A man after my own heart. You know why I believe that? Because he believed God loved him and was for him more than his mess ups. Am I condoning you to mess up? Absolutely not. God doesn't condone your sin. But it doesn't scare him. Stop thinking your sin is going to scare God away. If every time you messed up, God just like, hey, well, I tried. It's done. Nobody will ever be saved. What good news is that? Imagine if you came to God. You're like, okay, God, I'm finally giving you my life. And then you mess up. You fall back into addiction. And you're like, God, forgive me. And he's like, hey, man, I gave you a chance. Dude, you would never. That's not good news. Christ would have died for what? One sin of yours? He died for every single one of your sins. All sin from the beginning of time to the end of time. Let's grab a hold of his grace. Let's grab a hold of that. In knowing that, in having a revelation that God paid it all for you, that's what changes your heart. What does scripture say? The goodness of God leads to repentance. Not, hey, look at your mess up. 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 Look at the law. Look how you perform. Are you doing enough? Are you praying enough? No, that is not what's going to lead you to a change of mind. The change of mind is knowing in your sin, God loved you. In your sin, he loved you. And I'm going to say this real quickly. I know we got this little break coming up, but I'm going to get very personal with y'all. How I came to know Jesus, the real Jesus, was I was in the middle of a bondage. And had just received the peak of that addiction that I had, right? And in the peak of that, Satan came and said, "You're disgusting. You're nothing. You're nothing. God doesn't love you. What, God doesn't like ugly, you know? God hates that. You can't be right to him." And you know what's so sweet? The Holy Spirit came behind me, and it was almost Jesus hugged me in that moment, in my moment of filth. And he said, "I love you. I love you." And I thought, how could you love me? Look at what I've just done. Look at my repeated sin. I told you I was going to stop this over and over again, and I never did. How could you love me? Because I love you. In that moment, my whole being came to this one spot and said, if sin gets me a moment of pleasure and a lifetime full of shame, I choose Jesus. Because in your sin, he loves you. In the midst of your repeated sin that you've done for the 100th time, he loves you. That's what changes you. Not scolding. He's not like a human parent. Mm-mm. He doesn't have to whip you and whip you and whip you and correct you. He will correct you out of love, but it's love. He's a gentleman. His goodness alone can transform your life. Accept the grace that Abraham had. He might have deceived, but God called him a prophet. Accept the grace in your life. You might be addicted to porn, but God calls you perfect. You might be dealing with an addiction in your life, but God says you're holy. We need to accept this unmerited grace of the Lord Jesus. He paid it all for us to be accepted. He paid it all for us. I can keep going if you'd like me to.
I don't have any prayer requests right now. Do you?
We can pray for Neva and Joe. How is Joe doing? Did you see him yesterday?
Yeah. He's up moving around. I told him yesterday, I said, "Mr. Joe, don't you get me in trouble with Miss Neva." Yeah, he's doing good.
Is the pain better?
Mm.
And Nikki's father.
Continued prayers for Nikki and her family. And then continued prayers for Neva and Joe Pyatt. And continued prayers for my sister, Renee. Just add my whole family, y'all.
We're going to pray for all of
continue
our families.
Continue to pray for my family. God knows it all.